I recall the cases, and I recall the judges, and I recall the issues before the court.
Well, one of the Hague is an easy one to go back to. Hague was a little bit on the
traffic court judge.
Yeah, that's right. And he was sort of a hip shooter and a free spirit that didn't want to be bothered by what he was told by his superiors, that sort of thing. And among other things, he would not enforce the law had to do with prostitution.
That's right.
I think there were a couple other very conspicuous examples of that, where he thumbed his nose and just wouldn't perform. And he was, to the best of my recollection, I know he was disciplined. I think he was removed. But if he wasn't, the voters removed him. And, of course, that those two things tend to go hand in hand sometimes, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Probert, I don't recall the his misbehavior was very conspicuous too.
Excuse me, he was a probate judge in the Coldwater area. Do I have the right name?
I think over in Wyoming, near the Grand Rapids, somewhere in there. P R O B E R T.
I might be thinking of another case.
Well, this is all pretty far in the past. But do you think that from what you saw in the Michigan Supreme Court that the system for keeping the judges reasonably responsive and on the track in their tasks works pretty well? Or don't you have any?
Yeah, I do. I think it does. And I think we were comforted during my time in the court that there was in place the Judicial Tenure Commission as a constitutional body to do the policing. I don't know how in the world, if there hadn't been the Tenure Commission and all of its processes, how we would ever have met our responsibility to superintend the Michigan judiciary. We simply could not have done it adequately through the regional administrators. I mean, we got, when the justice of the peace system was abolished and the district court system came in, and as the explosion in litigation required new circuit court judgeships, we suddenly, in the late 70s and early 80s in Michigan, found ourselves on the Supreme Court superintending, relatively speaking, a huge judiciary. These district judges who used to be JPs are full-time people, several hundred of them. There are, forgot how many circuit judges, but the number of circuit judges increased in the probate judges. The elective process tends to bring to the judiciary some number of people who would never otherwise be chosen by anybody to be a judge. That doesn't mean that that good judges weren't elected. I like to think that I did a fairly adequate job as a trial court judge and I was elected, and I can think of dozens and dozens of others. But X number of judges come to the bench because they're politically popular in their locale and they don't have, at least they don't demonstrate, the first quality, the most elemental gifts of a judicial temperament. But in the Supreme Court in Lansing, we'd have no idea about what's going on in such courtrooms without the benefit of a Judicial Tenure Commission. I thought it worked pretty well. The process was carefully thought out. It was modeled on work done in other states. I think it works. It's not perfect. And I think the Supreme Court has to kind of ride herd on the commission so that it doesn't get carried away with its own authority.
What would you say of the state of affairs with respect to lawyer discipline and the mechanisms? I think this is reflected like, you wrote Henri Jacques. Remember that?
Yes.
And then the Supreme Court, as I understand it, of the United States, had a different view and reflected an Ohio case, and then it had to be heard again, and I think you pulled that one.
Yeah.
I think of the Falk,
all
the stuff that Alan Falk raised to the court. But what have you, do you recall anything about the Falk matter?